Not even Uncle John will get to play this song.
Hey, yeah! I could write a song! With real words, not phony ones like Odelay.
You can't say crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
They sure play crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
Kissing up fast is at the label. Folks, group that shit. 1, 2, 3, go. I ever make a radio edit, find my guitar, yeah, go get it, smash it over the hood of my car, light it on fire and bury it in the park. I'll never sell out unless I have a chance, cause then I will. Oh, you can't say crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
They sure play crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
Kissing up fast is at the label. Folks, do that shit. 1, 2, 3, go. I ever sign a record deal, these songs, they're all yours to steal. Put the shit on the Pirate Bay, that'll be the day when you can finally say, man, I used to like that guy, but now I don't. Oh, you can't say crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
But they sure play crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
Kissing up ass is at the label. Folks, shoot that shit. 1, 2, 3, go. Listen to the radio. We just listened to Paul Bear. Whoa. Wherever we go. No, we never listened to the radio. We just listened to Ted Leo. Whoa. Wherever we go. No, we never listen to the radio. We just listen to Defiance, Ohio. Whoa. Wherever we go. But we can't afford to drive, so we don't. Capital Radio. Capital Radio, there's crap on the radio, there's crap on the radio. Well, you can't say crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
But they sure play crap on the radio.
Whoa-oh, whoa-oh-oh.
Kissing up asses at the label. Folks, with that shit. 1, 2, 3, go.
Well, that's my good friend back. I'm off to rock a series of mid-level venues.
There you go. Paper Ceilings there with their version of Crap on the Radio. I opened with that track actually about 7 shows ago when I started all of this thing off on a Friday evening. And it's Friday again, so welcome along to Crap on the Radio. Not even Uncle John will get to play this song as I open the show tonight. Tonight, I actually recorded this on Thursday the 25th of October. It's actually 8 years to the day since John Peel died. A shock suddenly to his family and friends, but also to many of his listeners around the globe who were inspired by him musically to go and make bands and do things. But he also inspired a set of us, like people like us, to do radio and to do a different type of radio than the bland kind of crap that you get from your city pirates or your city legal stations also. So that's what we're doing. We're Radioactive International. We're doing this about 2 months now. We're up to 20 DJs. We've some hopping shows there. The downloads are massive. We had to upgrade our server twice in the meantime just to be able to take the traffic. So it's going good. We're happy. We could go more detail on the stats later, maybe in the show. Tonight we're going to play a few tunes from the Peel Sessions. I'm not going to cover everything. How can you? 30 years of Peel Sessions, there's no way you're going to do it. So I'm just going to pick in on a few of my favourites. In between, I'm going to throw in some sound bites from John Peel himself and some friends talking about himself, and it's taken from his This Is Your Life series. Okay, this one from the Smiths, This Charming Man. Something really different about a Peel session. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Is it because the band got into the studio before the record company got them money for some fancy producer to do something with the album, or what? Sometimes maybe a band was noticed before they got to Peel session, and it was just the basicness of the BBC studio or whatever studio they got. Don't know what it is, but there's always something different that I really like about hearing a Peel session. Okay, John Peel himself, he did a bit of TV, if you could call Top of the Pops TV, but he didn't like it. He wasn't naturally a TV man. He didn't fit in there at all, and he was definitely fitted in behind a microphone and radio studio. But one night they called him in to do it. I don't think he'd done it in something like 6 years, and away he goes. He's presenting Top of the Pops, and out comes the red book. I think it's Michael Aspel jumps out and says, "This is your life," and away it goes. So we're going to play a few bits and pieces from that show throughout the show tonight, and here we go, part one.
The Pops. Tonight I'm looking for a DJ who's been described as the most influential person in pop music for the last quarter of a century. He's plucked bands from obscurity, Rod Stewart, Pink Floyd, Mark Bolan, David Bowie, to name but a few. And it all happened because he used his Merseyside accent to set himself up as an expert on the Beatles in America back in the early 60s. Right, it's time for me to get among the action. I'm so hip it's beginning to hurt.
Don't forget the next week run in and Steve out of Boyzone will be doing this job. Don't forget Top of the Pops 2 on Saturday afternoon. Off you go now, nothing below the waist.
Yes, very good indeed. Thank you, John. Good evening. This is not a Radio 2 takeover. It's slightly more than that. I've come into your space because tonight, John Peel, this is your life.
I don't know what... Oh. Perfect end to a perfect day. Perfect.
I'm at a loss for words, unusual in a DJ, but I am on this show.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear that, because I've got a lot to say when we get back to our studios. A lot of surprises, some musical and some not.
Right, I was looking forward to going home, Michael, I have to be honest with you, but there you go.
It's not a late bath for you tonight, I'm afraid. So, if you like to spin a disc this way, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you next time. Good night, thanks for having me. John, what do you normally do after Top of the Pops? Go and lie down and stare at the ceiling or something?
Well, it's 9 years since I did one previously, and I was astonished to be asked to do one again, I have to admit. And very pleased to do it, of course, but I always come away with a terrible headache because I'm not a natural TV performer, so lying down would be a very good thing indeed. I'd like to do it now, actually.
Well, just give it half an hour, okay? Well, here, as you've seen with your wife, Sheila, are the four children who regard you as very much Top of the Pops. Talking of which, here are some of the stars you helped along the way.
You led me away from home, just to save you from me, alone. You stole my heart, and I'm not alone. You led me away
David Bowie's on Song For You Now.
Hi, John. I remember that around 1965 I did an audition for the BBC and I failed. And the report said, this vocalist is devoid of personality and sings all the wrong notes. So in your inimitable manner and with tremendous enthusiasm, you got me back on for another audition, which I passed the second time around, which gave me... freewheeling access to a lifetime of singing all the wrong notes, and I guess there's a lot of us out here who really thank you, John, for having faith in us and what we've been trying to do. So from all of us, thank you very much.
Thank you, David. And here is the man who has shared the pleasures of Top of the Pops with you, David Jensen.
Oh, great.
Seagull being the mascot for Brighton, quickly followed by machine gun fire.
Yes, that's right. Yes, absolutely right. Yes, you've got a good memory.
Yeah. I got lots of more, but I think...
That'll do nicely. People. David, thanks very much. Talking of Liverpool, Alexandra, can you oblige us with everyone's full Christian names?
Alexandra Mary Enfield, and this is William Robert Enfield, and this is Florence Victoria Shankly, and that's Thomas and James Dalgleish.
Very interesting, which I think calls for a comment from your personal hero.
Oh, John. I'm sure you're going to have a memorable and successful evening. Every bit as successful and enjoyable as what you had many a night when you stood in the cop watching Liverpool play a European tie. Your passion for the club is reflected in the names and the selection of names that you've chosen for your children. You're just 7 short of a team now. But I'm sure with that team behind you, you yourself will never walk alone. I hope you have a great night.
Thank you, Kenny. Well, John Peel, this is your life, and you were born on August the 30th, 1939, at Heswell, near Liverpool, and christened John Robert Parker Ravenscroft. You were the first of 3 sons of cotton merchant Bob Ravenscroft and his wife Harriet.
And at 18 months, you were a blonde bombshell.
I was gorgeous.
You were lovely.
Yes, absolutely.
Stunning. Because your father was away at war in North Africa, you were 6 years old before you recognised him, is that right?
That's right, yes. Alan, of course, wasn't born then, but Francis and I were on holiday in North Wales, and in those days, if you heard a motorbike or a car or anything like that, you ran out to look at it. Amazing to think that now, but Frank will tell me that I've got the story completely wrong, as he always does, but we heard a motorbike coming down the road, and we went out to have a look at it, and the chap on it indicated for he's going to turn into the driveway. We were rather scared by this. We ran into the house, and I ran upstairs, and my mum was washing her hair in the sink overlooking the driveway, and I said, Mummy, there's a funny-looking man at the door, and she said, that's your dad.
Oh. Well, at seven, you were a boarder at Woodlands Prep School in Deganwy, North Wales, and then in 1953, you go on to public school, Shrewsbury. Now, Alan, your brother had one memorable school report.
Yes, it said very simply, this is a particularly beastly child.
Well, I wonder if this had something to do with it.
Ghost riders in the sky.
Now that, of course, was a favourite of yours.
Yeah, it was, yeah. What a man.
But John, you played it so often, you nearly drove me up the wall.
Which is possibly why you haven't seen him for 15 years, your school friend Malcolm Davis.
Oh.
What a wonderful
place. Malcolm, how did you get involved?
Well, can you remember, John, when you were too young to be allowed to play a gramophone on your own?
Yes,
you used
yes,
to bring
yes.
that wind-up gramophone into my study, and we used to play Ghost Riders in the Sky until we nearly wore a groove through to the other side.
The Kid's Last Fight, and I Believe,
Answer
Me,
yes.
And I can sing them for you now, Rock of Gibraltar.
And I reckon that was part of your downward path to fame.
Yes, no question about it.
But perhaps next time Michael Charlesworth writes to you, it'll be to invite you back as one of the people who did rather better than
I'd like that enormously. I would like that a lot, yes.
Malcolm, thanks
to see you.
Good to see you.
Now, in 1958, the army claimed you as one of the last national servicemen before the scheme was abolished. You were demobbed in 1960, and your father sends you to America to learn the cotton trade. The Dallas Cotton Exchange doesn't excite you, so you switch to selling crop insurance to farmers. Back home, Liverpool's Cavern Club is rocking to the sound of this pop music phenomenon in the making, the Beatles. You decide to board the bandwagon on the Dallas radio station KLIF. You became their Beatles expert, didn't you?
I certainly did. Where did you get that photograph? I've never seen that
before. So there you go. Not a bad way to get into radio in the USA. Just pretending you know the Fab Four from Liverpool just because you've a Liverpool accent. I suppose if you equate that to me being an American, saying I'm from Dublin and I knew Boyzone or something, it makes it sound a bit sad. But there you go. He got in. He got a start. And he got on the Pirates then when he returned in 67. So, you know, he moved his way up, but the Pirates got banned by Tony Benn, eventually Minister of Communications, and he got onto the BBC. What a career, you know. When you used to watch This Is Your Life over the years, you used to see so many boring farts that you never even heard of as a kid. But I think I do remember watching that one and noticing that that was the guy who plays different types of stuff on the radio, even when I was probably only 10 or 11 when that show went out. Okay, what are we going to do? We go for another tune. Let's have to go and have a look, see what it is. Where are we? We're going to go for Whiskey in the Jar, Thin Lizzy, Peel Session. Captain Pharaoh
first produce my pistol, then produce my rapier. I said, stand or deliver, or the devil, he may take you. Mushroom, dumma dee dumma die. Wait for my daddy, oh. Wait for my daddy, oh. There's whiskey in the jar, oh.
Another man who went before his time there, filling it till Nizzy. And you're listening to Radioactive International. We're on the internet. We're broadcasting around the world, free of any government controls. Where you can tune into us on many devices now. We have an app we built this week for the Android. Check it out in the Google Play. I think that sounds better than market. I never got my head around that market. But yeah, so get in touch with us. We're in radioactiveinternational.org. info@radioactiveinternational.org is our email address. You can start your own show, you know. Get your PC out, get your laptop out, record your voice, play your tunes, send it in to us. We'll put it up on the internet, in the radio station. Join us. That's what we're about, you know. Okay, back to more of This Your Life Part 2.
In all of my life, yes, because the Americans, charming people, and in many ways, but I've told the story before and I'll tell it again. I'd bump into people as I travel around Texas in particular, trying to flog insurance. They say, hey, listen, fella, I was in your Leicestershire during the war. I knew this guy, Bob, from Leicestershire. Do you know Bob from Leicester? And they're so, and if I said, I don't think I do, to be honest, they'd be terribly hurt by it. So I'd say, Bob, Leicestershire, I know. So when the Beatles came along, they assumed that if we weren't kind of blood relatives, we were at least really good pals. So I never said that I knew the Beatles, but then I never said that I didn't.
Well, what might interest you is that we sent our cameras to Dallas to see where it all happened and to relive a few more memories.
Hello, John. It's me, your old friend, Ken Dow. Remember that? Long time ago, John. Long time no see. We're back in Dallas at KLIF. This is the old building. Remember, you came over here from WRR. The reason you came, John, was for a good reason. You didn't get paid over there. You got paid here, not just money, but
did.
Remember the microphone we had up on top of the building there? You and I worked right at the end of the building every Saturday for 6 straight hours. And the girls would come by and blow the horn. They liked you, John, because you had the Liverpudlian accent. You knew all about the Beatles and all. That was then. It's all been sold now. So we're going to take you, John, over to the new KLIF. John, this is the brand new KLIF. Pretty fancy building. We're about 2 miles or so from the old building, still in downtown Dallas. And KLIF now broadcasts from here, way up on the 16th floor. John, you remember what a great time we had playing the Yardbirds, Jerry and the Pacemakers, the Stones, the Beatles. We had a great teenage following. Everybody loved you. The Oklahoma City Highway Patrol came looking for you, didn't they, John? You didn't know why. The reason was KOMA Radio in Oklahoma City was looking for an English-speaking chap. So, John, you left me all alone in Dallas. You went to Oklahoma City, to KOMA, and then from there to San Bernardino in the great state of California, where you became a big star. Then you packed your bags and went home to England. This is Ken Dow, signing off from the grassy knoll in Dallas.
Well, you returned home in 1967. You've been away for 7 years. After Texas, your first port of call was the pirate station Radio London, broadcasting from a boat off Frinton-on-Sea.
And even then, you were always ahead of the music times.
In fact, so ahead, I still don't understand it. Tony Blackburn and Ed Stewart.
I'm not kissing you.
No, good.
Good, I'm glad about it.
Michael, Ed, you called him the pirate's avant-garde or something?
The avant-garde. Yeah, he was the man who chose the In With It music. And we'd play, and when you said David Bowie, you'd play all the great stuff. We'd play the Laughing Gnome.
Yes.
And you'd play all the good
all
stuff.
All top
tier.
That
was his best record.
It was. Yeah. There you go. But you were the Beatles man, weren't you? Very much
yeah.
so.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah.
Now, I always look upon you as the Mystic Meg of the 60s.
Well, I used to think of him as being like the Antichrist
of... Always mutual respect.
After several conversations with him...
This sounds corny, but we both cared about music and we both cared about radio.
It's very annoying, actually. In the end, we actually liked one another.
We did, yes. Yes. Until this moment.
Yeah, we just turned up as the irritant.
Yes, yes.
That spoiled it all beautifully. Thank you both very much.
Okay, job.
Thank you. Well, your voice is heard for the first time on Radio 1 at 2 p.m. on October the 1st, 1967.
There are indeed beautiful groups, and they all have nice things to do, and none of them ever get heard, except, of course, on Top Gear.
Well, you become firm friends with the DJ whose style has never been compared with yours.
Good evening, Pop Fingers. Haha, but in your case, John Boy, Pop Fingers. All right. Not all.
The lovely Alan Fluff Freeman.
If there has ever in the whole history of popular music been such a thing as a great DJ, which I would dispute, but this is the man.
The nearest thing, yes. Alan,
true.
Would you say that John had an influence on your musical taste?
Absolutely. I used to do Pick of the Pops on a Sunday afternoon, and John would follow me, and he had all these mates in the studio, you know. With the beards and the long hair, and I thought, what a lot of weirdos.
With the hair.
And they used to look at me, and they used to think, poor sad little man. And I used to, the moment I finished Pick of the Pops, I would, because I lived about 15 minutes away from the BBC studios, I would dash home so I could listen to John and what he was doing. But I must say, Michael, I think there are two great names in disc jockey. One is Alan Freed, the American disc jockey, who gave us rock and roll. The other here is Mr. John Peel, who I think remains the pioneering disc jockey in this country of all time. God bless you, Peely.
You're a silver-tongued devil. Oh.
Thank you, Alan. Now, you've become, as Alan said, a talent spotter, but in more ways than one. In 1970, you gave a Glasgow band its first national airtime, the Humble Bums. The lead singer is working in Australia tonight. You might recognise him.
The reason I'm here, mate, is to say thank you very, very much. From the bottom of my heart, thanks for getting behind us. When I was in the Humble Bums in the late 60s, early 70s, you've no idea how it felt to have your nod of approval. And just standing talking to you was great. When you admitted to being a rocker in your early days, I was such a happy chappy. Thanks for Teenage Fan Club. Thanks for the cure. Thanks for the disease, John. A grateful nation salutes.
Thank you, Billy Connolly. Apart from the noise of football crowds, the roar of the bikes at the Isle of Man TT races is music to your ears.
Yes. And we hold a lap record of sorts, don't we, John?
It's Andy Kershaw. So, Andy, this is thrilling stuff.
Yes, well, bear in mind that the quick men now in the Isle of Man are going round the circuit 38 miles long in 18 minutes, and they're averaging 123 miles an hour. I think the first time John came over, Honda lent us a 1,000cc race replica bike, a missile of a bike, for me to take him on a lap of the course, show him round, you know, because he didn't really know much about it. But this was only on the condition from John that I must go no faster than 30 miles an hour on this bike, which was capable of 160. So we set off on this thing, and as I say, 18 minutes for the quick men there. Our lap record, the slowest of all time, is 3 hours and 24 minutes. But from a broadcasting point of view, the greatest broadcaster on the BBC, and by definition, therefore, the greatest broadcaster in the world, you've culturally enriched a nation. I think your own epitaph ought to be, too daft to live, too nosy to die.
Andy, thank you.
Okay, more of that later on in the programme. Now for my favourite, I'd say, Peel session of all. It's originally recorded by the Specials. Doesn't make it all right, but it's got to be the Stiff Little Fingers version I'm going for. Here we go. We'll be right back.
them. It doesn't mean you got to fight. Doesn't make it all right. It doesn't make it all right. It's the worst excuse in the world. And it doesn't make it all right.
Little Fingers in their version of It Doesn't Make It All Right on radioactiveinternational.org. You're kind of used to saying like .fm, .am, whatever. Yeah, it's .org. I have to say one thing about the listeners to this station. You're a very quiet bunch out there. You know, you have the option there to email us at info@radioactive.international.org or hit the responses on the blog and, talk back to the DJs, tell them, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you take one show, Works Radio number 2, When Maggie Thatcher Dies, 750 listens to that show in its first few weeks, and 3 responses to the whole show. Nice to get the responses, but you'd think, 750 people listen to an offbeat kind of show like that, and you think they get a bit more involved. But then, there you go. We did have a bit of a scare. We were looking at the stats there last week, and we were looking at Shabby Shuffle went up to like 4,500 listens, and we were like, "What? Now where's this coming from?" It was totally off the wall compared to the figures that other shows were getting, and we nailed it down to a HTTP status code 206. It's when these the techies will understand this, but it's when the MP3 players are on devices like PSPs and iPods that don't have a lot of space. What they do is they just take chunks of the show in tiny little bits, and the statistic package we were using was falsely looking at that and saying, oh yeah, you got 4,500 listens, when actually it was, you know, probably more likely to be about 500 listens, and the rest of the bits were just chunks of shows being transferred across the internet. Okay, sorry for boring you with all the techie stuff there. What are we going to do now? Love Will Tear Us Apart, Peel Session.
Liverpool continues to be the centre of your world, and an old Scouse pal of yours finds himself on your show with this number. Yes, a haunting melody, and from the scaffold, it's
John
Gorman.
Yes,
you're right.
Indeed.
present.
Terrific.
And your most
fabulous.
Favourite king of all time.
Yes, what a great man he was, too.
Yeah. I think my most poignant memory for John is Parc des Princes, 1980.
Yes.
Liverpool versus Real Madrid, the European Cup final.
Yes.
And we'd flown over from Liverpool, get to Parc des Princes, and somehow we got split up in the hotel. You went on one coach with the wives. I was on the coach with the FIFA officials, my luck. We went straight to the barrier, and you got stopped at the barrier.
I did.
I said to Robinson, where's the tickets? He said, tickets? I said, yeah, we organised the tickets for the game. Where are they? I said, tickets. I said, John. And the wives came up the avenue, the boulevard, and...
Ferguson, as they call them.
Those French people, which is what we say. And then Ferguson came up and I said, where's John Pearce? They wouldn't let him through the barrier because he hasn't got a ticket. Down the boulevard, and you're on the far corner, standing outside a cafe, because you're thinking, if I can't get in, I'll have to watch it on television.
It's very me, yeah. Yeah.
So John. And it was like the sun suddenly came out over France, and the God got the sunlight to shine.
Yes.
And your whole face just like exploded the joy.
Yes.
And it was, my luck had not changed, because you ran over and kissed me. Got you back through the barrier, saw the game. On the plane.
One of the proudest moments of my life, I was.
Yeah. Well, except meeting me now.
Except meeting you now, of
makes
course,
two proud moments in your life.
Couldn't be better. Thank you, John.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You. Now, how did a Radio 1 DJ contribute to the setting up of one of the country's biggest business empires? Here's the man who knows, Richard Branson.
Well, hello, John. If it hadn't been for your pioneering over the last 20, dare I say 30 years, numerous new bands who are now internationally well known would never have had a chance of having their music played on the radio. Bands like, for instance, and one artist dear to our heart, Mike Oldfield, when you stuck your neck out and played the whole of Tubular Bells, I think that's what broke Mike Oldfield. And from Virgin's point of view, I think, you know, if we hadn't broken Mike Oldfield, I think Virgin may not have been born. So we have a lot to thank you for. Anyway, have a lovely evening. Best of luck to you. If John Walters is there, say hello and see you soon.
Thank you, Richard. Well, we'll say hello to him now, your BBC producer, John Walters. John, you produced the show for, 22 years?
Yes, 22 years, and I must say quite sincerely that it's been a privilege to be associated with you for all that time.
You never told me this before.
No, so. More than say it. Now, we never shook hands before.
I don't think so. No. Physical contact was out.
Because I genuinely believe that you're the most important individual in British rock music, in the history of that music. Because generation after generation... this chap would spot the trends, spot the individuals, and give them all the encouragement and all the exposure he could give them when nobody else wanted to know. And the main thing was because he's got young ears. And he's still got young ears. I mean, if this bloke ever achieves puberty, the rock business is finished in this country. I mean, it's happening now. Pulp, they go around the world, they sell probably millions of records. When they were unknowns, this bloke had them on in 1981.
That's true.
As you say, where are they now? In the top 10 album chart. Let's all meet up in the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown? Now let's hear from more up-to-the-minute bands that you like and encourage. Here's The Fall. I hear you talk all day, listen and air. I hear you talk all day, listen and air. They're playing Manchester tonight and Marquis Smith talks to you from there.
Hiya, John. Hope you're having a nice night. It's Mark from The Fall here. want to say, you know, you're the only one in 79 who took any notice of us. And, when we're a four-piece cabaret band, and still having trouble, but I hope you have a nice night. And I think the thing people forget about you is that, you know, everywhere you go in the world, Brazil, anywhere like that, you're still one of the most famous sort of British radio TV personalities. I hope you have a nice night. I'll see you.
Now, just for you, the wedding present. And he's here, lead singer David Gedge. David, you two met in the early 80s, right?
One of the first times I actually pressed one of my grubby tapes into your pile was when you did a disco in Ilkley. I travelled up from Leeds to come and see you, and eventually you plucked up courage, and you actually, I think, more interested in how I was going to get home, because I think the trains had all finished, all the buses, and you said, how are you getting back? And I said, I don't know, actually, I've never thought about that. And you said, oh, I'll give you a lift. I said, you can't give me a lift, you're going completely the wrong way. And in the end, you actually got me in your car, you took me all the way home, dropped me off at my door. And,
what a kindly old man. Well, I've forgotten that. I don't think I ever even...
Well, I didn't forget it because I think, obviously, you're a brilliant presenter, you're very important in British culture and pop music and stuff, but to me, ultimately, you're a great bloke, and that's more important than anything else.
Thank you, David.
What
can I say?
Now, Billy Connolly proved your talent-spotting skills aren't confined to pop music. You were the first to sing in praise of this new comedian.
Please release me, let me go. For I don't love you anymore. Her lips are warm while yours are cool. My darling, let me go.
In person, Paul Whitehouse.
Oh, wow.
John wrote about you in the press, did he?
Yeah, he did. After we'd mercilessly lampooned most of John's mates over there. I've got to go and sit there in a minute. We left him alone, and we did a show called The Fast Show, which was largely ignored by most people, apart from Peel, and he wrote mercilessly every week in his column in the Radio Times about how wonderful this show was. And it got so embarrassing, I had to ring him up and tell him to stop. But he didn't, and I'm very pleased that he didn't. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. All right. One more thing, John. When he'd finished filming, your old Dallas pal caught a plane. It landed safely at Heathrow, and a fast car has brought him here to see you for the first time in 30 years. Ken Dow.
Hello, my friend. How are you? How are you, John? I'm doing well. How are you doing, man?
John Peel.
What's in your name? He looks the same now as he did then, whereas I don't. I mean, no. You've seen the pictures, and you look...
But he has all the money, Michael.
True. Well, I've got the book, and it's now yours.
Well, what can I say?
John Peel, this is your life.
So there you have it. This is your life for John Peel. What a man. What a DJ. He inspired a lot of us it helps us do what we do now. Yeah, he went early. He went too early, you know. I think he was up in Cuzco in Peru, up in the Andes. Not nice, you know. It just wasn't a happy time for his family, and you know, being so far away. But he's at rest now, and that documentary, that This Is Your Life, to see all his friends and how much they loved him and all they could say for him and everything. And it's just funny to see Dalglish in there, and he was obviously reading the cue cards because the eyeballs were just scanning across. You know, Billy Connolly, it's mad. Mad to see all the people he helped along the way. Too many to mention. Too many who wouldn't have been big enough names maybe to fit into that programme. And there's other things out there. There's Dandelion Radio. Check them out. They're on the internet there. They're dedicating their radio station to everything that he has done. And the station is solely inspired by John Peel. So check that one out, Dandelion Radio. But let's hope his memories do spawn many more things like Dandelion Radio and this station and other things to come. Okay, well, this show wouldn't be complete without playing John Peel's favourite song of all time. He had a strong relationship with the band after adopting them, kind of, by playing the song so much. But it's The Undertones from Derry with Teenage Kicks.
Say this one thing. I wish you could all be at Villa Park on Monday to cheer Liverpool.